Now, if you stop for a moment and just come back to this year, this moment right here, come back to you right now. What is this that God has done to us? God is moving and we should be excited. Instead, we're grumbling about we can't do this and we don't have this. And how about, watch out, because God is on the move. And I'm thinking, well, he's going to do something. We're watching it happen. Let's just see what it's going to be.
Welcome to Apply Within, a verse-by-verse study of the Word of God with Pastor Bob Davis of North Country Chapel. We invite you to join with us as we, by the power of God's Holy Spirit, apply His Word within our own hearts as we study line upon line, precept upon precept, verse-by-verse, through the Bible. Our study of Genesis continues in chapter 42 as Joseph's brothers are forced to ask for his help. Here's Pastor Bob.
Now, remember, the famine's going bad. Nobody's got food. We come to Jacob's place. We're back in Canaan now. Now, when Jacob saw that there was corn in Egypt, means he heard that, Jacob said to his sons, "Why do you look upon one another?" I love this guy. You know, put that in Americans. What are you guys standing around staring at each other for? We got to go get some food. I like that. "Why do you look upon one another?" You're just sitting and looking at each other. Verse 2, and he said, "Behold, I heard that there is corn in Egypt. Get you down there and buy for us from there that we may live and not die." We've got the money. Go get us some food. It's the only place is Egypt. Go there. And Joseph's 10 brothers went down to buy corn in Egypt. But Benjamin, Joseph's brother, Jacob sent not with his brethren. For he said, "Lest peradventure mischief befall him." And the sons of Israel came to buy corn among those that came, for the famine was in the land of Canaan. See, the famine was all over the area. See, the choice is either go down to Egypt to purchase food or die. It's an option, but not much of one. I mean, most people would say, if my option is to go to Egypt and buy food or not go to Egypt, we'll go to Egypt. And you know, that's basically, you know, it is what they're going to do. He sends his sons, but not all 11. Why? He kept Benjamin home, Rachel's youngest son. Rachel had two boys. He really loved Rachel. She had two boys. One was Joseph, and Jacob believes Joseph's dead. And the last one of her little ones is Benjamin. And he's not about to lose Benjamin. And verse 6 says this, Joseph was the governor over the land. Okay, we knew that. And it was he that sold to all the people of the land. And Joseph's brothers came and bowed down themselves before him with their faces to the earth. And Joseph saw his brethren and he recognized them. Well, that makes sense because Reuben was older. Remember, he was the oldest and he probably hasn't changed much in the last 20 years. But Joseph has changed tremendously. He was a little bitty guy, a little thin guy, not filled out yet. He had hair and what sort of a beard he had. And finally, now he's Egypt, he's leadership. They shave him bald and he couldn't have hair on his face. So he'd wear these cool little fish kind of hats or whatever. They would not know him from anybody, but he recognized them. Joseph saw his brethren and he knew them, but he made himself strange to them. In other words, he acted like he didn't know who they were. And he spoke the languages roughly, angrily, almost, disapproving to them. And he said to them, "Whence come ye?" Where'd you come from? And they said, "From the land of Canaan, and we came to buy food." Joseph knew his brothers, but they knew not him. I don't know what I would feel. I don't know what you would feel. I don't know what Joseph is feeling, but I noticed something about him. He's not angry. It's not like you see, I'm going to kill him right now. Every one of them tried to kill me, and man, here's my shot at it. These guys are dead. That's not the heart. But watch what he does. Here comes Joseph's brothers. He recognizes them immediately. They have no idea who they're talking to. They bowed down before Joseph with their faces to the ground. Didn't he dream that? That his brothers would bow down before him? And then in the second dream, not only his brothers, but Jacob and his whole household. Wait a minute. The dream, you can go back and check, was that all of his brothers, all 11, that included Benjamin, bowed down before him. That's what his dream said. So this doesn't fulfill the whole dream yet, does it? No. Think about it. And Joseph remembers his dream. And so he's going to have to find a way to get Benjamin up there too, so that they will all bow down before him. That's the prophecy. And so what does he do? Look at verse 9. Joseph remembered the dreams which he dreamed of them, and he said to them, "You are spies. You've come to see the nakedness of the land. That's why you're here. You come to spy out the land to see if there's a, you know, you're probably planning to attack, to take what we have. You're just checking it out, see where it's at and all that. You're spies." And they said to him, "No, my Lord, but to buy food are thy servants come." We're your servants. They don't know that's Joseph. "To buy food, we're here. We are all one man's sons. We are true men. We're honest. We're telling you the truth. We're true men. Your servants are no spies." And Joseph said to them, "No, you are. You're spies. You come to see the nakedness of the land. That's why you're here. You're planning to attack. You're thieves and robbers. You're spies." And they said, "Thy servants are 12 brothers. We're the sons of one man in the land of Canaan. And behold, the youngest is this day with our father. The youngest is still at home. One of them," the language says, "is dead." You know who they're talking about? They're talking about Joseph. They're talking to Joseph and don't know anything. "Our youngest is at home with dad, and one of them died." He's gone. He's been dead a long time. "And Joseph said to them, 'That is it that I spake unto you, saying you are spies.'" He says, "I still think you're spies. I think I'm right. Hereby you shall be proved." This will prove to me. I want you to prove to me that you're not spies. "By the life of Pharaoh, you shall not go from here except your youngest brother comes here. I'm not going to let any of you leave." And then he'll change his mind in a moment. "But I'm not going to let any of you leave till I see your brother. Send one of you and let him fetch your brother, and you shall be kept in the dungeon, in the prison, that your words may be tested, whether there be any truth in you, or else by the life of Pharaoh, surely you are spies." Good way to prove that your little brother is back there. "I'll keep all of you except one. Go get him, bring him back, and we're good. Then I'll say, okay, you're not spies." And he put them all together, all 10 of them, into ward 3 days. He put them in the dungeon and locked them down for 3 days. It just gives you a little time. You got a little more time on your hands to think. Maybe if you're smart, you're keeping busy, but you're reading your Bible a lot more, praying a lot more, seeking the Lord, trying to discern all, right? Right? Yeah, there you go. Well, they get a little lockdown time. It wasn't weeks, but it was a good 3 days. You go into a dungeon, they chain you down there. Okay, you got plenty of time to rethink everything you're all about. "And Joseph said to them the third day, 'Do this and live, because I fear God.'" That was a clue. They didn't get it. "If you be true men, let one of your brethren be bound in the house of your prison. I'll keep one of you locked in the dungeon. You go, the rest of you, carry your corn for the famine of your houses. But bring your youngest brother," verse 20, "to me back. So shall your words be verified, and you shall not die. If you'd like to live, I'm going to keep you here locked away. That guy never comes back. You guys are dead. If he comes back without your brother, you guys are dead. Either way, there's only one way to live, and that's prove that you're telling the truth." And verse 21 goes on to say this. "They said to one another," now they think he can't speak Hebrew, so they're talking it over among themselves out loud. "They said to one another, we are truly guilty concerning our brother. And they're talking about Joseph. This is coming back on us because of what we did to Joseph. We threw him in that dark, dark place. Now, we just got thrown for 3 days. And one of us is going to have to stay here and lay in that dark place till we bring our brother back. We're in trouble. We are truly guilty concerning our brother in that we saw the anguish of his soul. They could hear him crying, please let me out. Please, come on, guys. We're brothers. Come on. They said, we saw that anguish of his soul when he besought us and we would not listen. We mocked. We laughed. We moved away so we didn't have to hear this whining kid. Therefore, that's why this distress has come upon us. We're being punished for what we did to our brother Joseph. Christians think that way too, don't they? They're not being punished. They don't even know this is their brother Joseph. They don't even know what's in store. They're just finally, their hearts start to break because they think back and say, that was so wrong. We're guilty. And they did not know. All the time they were talking among themselves, they did not know that Joseph understood them, for he spoke unto them through an interpreter. And he turned himself, Joseph did, after he heard them talking like that, he turned around from them and he wept and returned to them again and communed with them and took from them Simeon and chained him before their eyes, put him back in the dungeon. Reuben says this, I left this guy. I told you guys you shouldn't have done it. And he did, remember? You wouldn't listen. This is our punishment for how we treated our brother. Joseph, seeing that they are now ashamed and hurting in their own hearts, it caused him to literally weep. He sees their regret and he turns from them so they can't see him. Not just a few tears, he's weeping. He has to turn away, walk away, and then kind of clean up his face or whatever and come back. When he regained his composure, he comes back to them and he said, I'll keep you, Simeon. I'll keep this guy right here, Simeon. Joseph had him tied up and chained as they watched. He went back to the dungeon. Joseph commanded his servants, fill their sacks with corn and give every person his money back that they bought the corn with, put it back in their bags, and give them food enough for their trip back. So Joseph is blessing his brothers. When your brother curses you, don't return evil for evil. Bless them. Notice Joseph is no longer holding any kind of grudge. He's had a lot of nights in the dungeon to think it through. A lot of nights. And knowing I've been forgotten by my family, I've been forgotten by the chief butler, I'm getting forgotten by everybody, except I know God hasn't forgotten me. That's what kept him going. Now listen to this. He commanded them to fill their sacks full of corn with corn and to restore every man his money into his sack and to give provision for the way. And they did. And they laid it up the donkeys with corn and they departed. There's 9 of them leaving. One of them is in jail. They're going to head home. And as one of them, verse 27, just one of them opened his sack to give his donkey some food at the inn that they stopped by, he spied his money. He saw, he was digging through and he saw his money. Behold, it was in his sack's mouth. It was right as you open the sack to get some corn out for the donkey. There's the money that I paid. And he said to his brother, my money is here. It's been restored. And lo, it is even in my sack. And their hearts, all of them, sank. They were afraid, saying one to another, what is this that God has done to us? Now, we told them we weren't liars, and they're also now going to accuse us of stealing. You got your corn and you didn't pay. You're thieves. I knew it, right? Think about it. Now, if you stop for a moment and just come back to this year, this moment right here. Come back to you right now. What is this that God has done to us? God is moving and we should be excited. Instead, we're grumbling about we can't do this and we don't have desks. And how about, watch out, because God is on the move. And I'm thinking, well, he's going to do something. We're watching it happen. Let's just see what it's going to be. It may not feel good. It may not, you know, look good. It may, whatever you think. But I'm telling you, God's got this, and we can not be afraid. You may be thinking that you're being punished or you're being judged or something. That's not the case. Your sin is gone. He has set you free. You are free in Jesus Christ to worship him and to praise him. And whatever happens to you, you can praise God. You can trust God. You don't lose your hope. Don't lose anything. Just trust. Trust and obey. Just trust and obey. Sounds easy, doesn't it? Look at verse 29. And they came to Jacob, their father, in the land of Canaan, and they told him all that befell them, saying, "The man who is the Lord of the land, he spoke roughly, violently to us, and he took us for spies of the country. And we said, we are true men, we're honest men, we're not spies. We be 12 brethren, sons of our father. One is dead, the youngest is today with our father in the land of Canaan. And the man, the Lord of the country, said to us, 'Hereby shall I know you are telling the truth, that you're being truthful men. Leave one of your brothers here with me and take food for the famine for your households and be gone. Go ahead. And bring your youngest brother to me,'" verse 34, "then I shall know that you are not spies, but that you are true, honest men. So will I deliver your brother, and you shall traffic in the land. You can come back as many times as you want for food. Just prove to me that you're not lying. Bring your little brother." Verse 35, "came to pass as they emptied their sacks." Now they're all getting off their donkeys and they're telling their dad this and that. They're taking the sacks of grain off. They open their sacks. Every man's bundle of money was in his sack. And when both they and their fathers saw the bundles of money, they were afraid. The language means their hearts dropped once again. Oh, we thought it was just you, and he's going to think you're the thief. But it's every one of us. We're in trouble. And Jacob, God bless Jacob, their father, verse 3, said unto them, "Me have you bereaved of my children." Joseph is dead. Notice what he says about Simeon. He's not. In other words, he's as good as dead. Think about what that means. All we got to do is take Benji back and they'll let Simeon go. And so Jacob says, Simeon is dead. And you want to take Benjamin away from me? All these things, hear it, everybody. Sounds just like you and me. Listen, everybody. All these things are against me. Do you know that it's a blessing, and he has no idea it's a blessing, that God's going to take him to Egypt and protect him and his family for the rest of his life and his family forever with all God's promises, and he's bummed and upset and whining? Nothing like us at all, is he? No. And Reuben spoke to his father and said, "Kill my two sons. You kill them if I do not bring him back to you. Deliver him, Benjamin, into my hand, and I will bring him to you again." We can't leave Simeon there to be killed. We can't. We've got to take Benjamin. And so if I don't bring him back, you kill two of my children. Now, he loves his children. He doesn't want that to happen. He says, "I'm promising you." And he said, Jacob said, "My son shall not go down with you. Forget it, for his brother is dead, and he is left alone." In other words, these are Rachel's boys. Joseph is dead. I can't let Benjamin die. I can't. "If mischief befall him by the way in which you go, then shall you bring down my gray hairs with sorrow to the grave." If Benjamin dies, I'm already sorrowing the rest of my days till I go to the grave over Joseph. I will sorrow over Benjamin too. So the answer is no. Yeah, but Simeon will, no. I feel better now. Jeremiah 29. verses 11 through 13. God says, not to Jeremiah alone, not to Israel alone, but to you and to me and all who call upon the name of the Lord. Jeremiah 29, 11 through 13. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts for peace and not evil, to give you an expected end. God has got a plan, and on the other side of this plan, I'll still be there. He's got something specifically for me, specifically for you, and he's not going to let up. I know the thoughts I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then you shall call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will listen to you. I'll answer you. I'll hearken unto you. And you shall seek me when you find me, You shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart, all your heart. It can't be divided. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And don't lean on your own understanding. What are we doing? Because God's doing something different in you than he's doing in me. He's doing something different at the church way down the road, 18 or so miles, than he's doing at the church across the street. And everybody tries to make it cookie cutter, and they'll try to pull out their scriptures to build it. But listen, everyone. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not into your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. My problem is, I can't tell you what your path is. He's only going to lead me in mine. Psalm 91, in case you've forgotten, verses 1 and 2. He or she that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I'll say that again. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall dwell, abide, live under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, verse 2, he is my refuge and my fortress. He is my God. In him will I trust. So it doesn't matter what happens out there. It doesn't matter what happens across the land in your state or in mine or in the state down the road over here. That doesn't matter. What matters is, are we listening to God? Are we missing blessings like the boys don't understand? That was a blessing in disguise, is a blessing. And God's going to keep blessing them like that because he promised to, and he loves every one of them. He's going to keep blessing you in spite of you. And you'll go through things like they're feeling this guilt now, not even realizing the one they think they killed is standing in front of them and ready to bless them out of their socks. That God Almighty has a plan for those men. Even though, yes, they sinned, his mercy comes upon them. He's going to save the entire nation. And he used the little boy who had to go to prison for almost 13 years, who was hated by his own brothers. And that guy could have come out, Joseph, could have come out so angry and so frustrated, he could have put him to death right on the spot. He had the authority, and they would have never known it was him. But that's just not the way God does things. I can't tell you what to do or how to do what God has told you to do. I can't, because he's speaking to you. But we're going to the same God by the same Holy Spirit in the Word of God. So he's never going to lead me or you against his own word. So you trust in that and you pray and you keep praying. Pray for me. I pray for you. Don't catch yourself saying, all these things are against me. Don't leave God out of any equation that comes your way.
Thank you for listening to Apply Within with Pastor Bob Davis. Apply Within is the radio outreach ministry of North Country Chapel. Our Sunday morning Bible studies are at 9 and 11 a.m. We also have a Friday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. and a Monday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. You can download today's message in its entirety at northcountrychapel.com northcountrychapel.com/studies. That's northcountrychapel.com/studies. If you would like a copy of today's message, write to us and ask for the message with today's date. The address is Apply Within, 2281 West Celtis, Post Falls, Idaho, 83854. Or call us at 1-800-572-8851. That number again, 1-800-572-8851. Our mobile app is available for iPhone and Android. Download it to listen to full-length studies, watch the live stream of our services, or to find out more about church events. If you have been blessed by the teaching or have prayer requests that you would like to share with us, write, email, or call us as well. Please join with us every Monday through Friday as we study together verse by verse on Apply Within, sponsored by North Country Chapel. God bless you.